This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Manuel Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, A Heart of Thanks.
I've been journeying with you through what I like to call at the beginning of the month, the 5-H Club. As I said, I would have called it the 4-H Club. It would have sounded even more appropriate, but there was five Sundays, so what are you going to do? So the 5-H Club, we started with a full life is comprised of having hope. And if you missed that, you know, we can get CDs for anyone that you missed. And the second one is the pursuit of happiness. People want to be happy. It's written into the Declaration of Independence that that's the yearning of the human heart. And the third week, we talked about your health and how difficult it can be if you're not healthy and God's prescriptions for what health looks like and how to maintain it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the fourth in the H series, a heart of thanks, a heart of thanks. There's a story that tells of a man who found a barn where Satan keeps his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than any of the others, and he learned that those seeds could be made to grow anywhere. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted there was one place in which he could never get the seeds of discouragement to thrive. And where was that? The man asked. And Satan replied, sadly, in the heart of a grateful person. Are you a grateful person this morning? Do you have a heart of thanks and thanksgiving? Are you concerned not just with the things that trouble you, not just with the things that bother you, not just with the things that upset you, but are you also thinking and consumed with the things that God has blessed you with? I want to encourage you this morning to have a heart of thanks and gratefulness to the Lord. The dictionary defines Thanksgiving this way. It's a national holiday set apart. Are you ready? I don't think you're probably getting this in school. It's a national holiday set apart for giving thanks to God. Now, they've put just about every possible spin on it. They've made it harvest. They've made it giving thanks to the earth. But I don't know that they're exactly talking about it in the schools the way it was originally defined and the way it's been defined for most of America's history as a time to give thanks to God. Truth be known, if we pause and reflect, we have so much to be thankful for. Amen? Are you thankful this morning? Do you recognize your blessings? The words thank and think. The words thank and think come from the same root, and they remind us that thanksgiving comes from thinking about and counting our blessings. You've got to put a little thought into this. You've got to ask yourself, what am I blessed with? What are my blessings? Not a bad idea to write those down. What are your blessings this morning? I'm going to keep coming back to that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm as our text, Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5, and we'll do a little expository sharing this morning, going down almost word by word, verse by verse at least. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. This is a psalm of Israel's King David. You remember King David? He was the shepherd boy. The way he used to deal with his king, Solomon, the way he used to deal with his king, Saul, was to sing the psalms. And the psalms would cause him to, he had a lot of distress. He had a lot of anxiety, that king had. And when David would sing psalms to him on his harp or on his guitar, if you will, that the king was calmed down. Remember last week we talked about when things get rough, one thing you can do is to repeat Psalm 23 and try to develop that sense of being able to read at least or repeat after you've memorized Psalm 23 five times a day. See what kind of therapeutic effect it has on your mind as you go through your stresses. In other words, displace the things that you're anxious about. Displace the things that you're angry about. Displace the things you're worried about. Displace the things you're concerned about. And in their place, put Psalm 23. And see what begins to happen in your heart and your mind. This was a hymn that was used by the Jewish priests when they moved the Ark of the Covenant from place to place. And David wrote this psalm to describe the way God cared for his people and the way he watched over that Ark. You might remember that the Ark, I know if you saw one of the Indiana Jones movies, it was a big deal, so you know what it looks like. The Ark was a rectangular box covered with gold. It had angels on top of it. It was for Israel the most sacred physical symbol of God's presence among the people. That's how they remembered God. You know why Jewish men wear a yarmulke? Because they want to remember every single day that God is the head of who they are. He's over their head. That's why the yarmulke. The Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments. It contained a pot of manna. You remember manna is how God fed them. You remember what manna meant? What is this? How many times have you gone to a restaurant and asked yourself that question and wondered? You had to be in the army to get that. And then it also had the staff of Israel's first high priest, Aaron. So David writes in verse 1 of our text, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for how he's watching over you. Are you thankful today for how the Lord is watching over you? This kind of thanks goes back thousands of years. 1 Chronicles 23:30. This is what the priests were told. Stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise in the evening. History records that the priests of Israel were not the only ones who did that. Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray in the evening? This can be this can be part of your normal daily devotional life. Let me tell you about somebody very famous who you know who had that kind of devotional life. And I want to point, in this case, to the President of the United States, the very first president. Almost got you on that one, right? Had you going there, right? The very first president of the United States, George Washington, in 1752, he created a personal journal and prayer book. It consisted of 24 pages. It was in his field notebook, and it was written in his own hands. And these are just a couple of excerpts, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Listen to what George Washington wrote. Quote, Almighty God and most merciful Father, who did command the children of Israel to offer a daily sacrifice to thee, that thereby they might glorify and praise thee. Receive, O Lord, my morning sacrifice, which I now offer to thee. I yield thee an hearty thanks that thou hast preserved me from the dangers of the night past and brought me to the light of day. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me through the night. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this day before your feet ever hit the ground in the morning. Praise the Lord. What would that do to start your day off? Sunday evening, here's what he wrote. O most glorious God, in Jesus Christ, my merciful and loving Father, I acknowledge and confess my guilt in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of sin. Let me live according to those holy rules which thou hast this day prescribed in thy holy word. So much for those who believe that he didn't believe in Jesus Christ, but he did. Writer Robert Louis Stevenson said these things about a person who was not thankful. He said, the person who has stopped being thankful has fallen asleep in life. No idea what's going on. Not thinking it through. Not realizing that there's a balance in life. There, you have some hard days. But boy, you can balance those things against all the blessings you have in the Lord. It's like the scales. Okay, put your adversity, put your problem, put your issue, push your challenge, put it on one side. And now, to counterbalance it, put your blessings on the other side. See which outweighs which. Verse 1 continues, call upon his name. Call upon his name. Reach out to the Lord. John Newton, you may remember him, he was a pastor He was the one that wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Here's something else he wrote. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. The name of Jesus. Do you know that just the name of Jesus is so powerful? I told you stories of things that happened at Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital when the name of Jesus was sung, and saw so many miracles happen because we brought Jesus into the hospital. The name of Jesus is powerful. It can turn away the most raging person. Jean's great aunt came from Norway to America once, and she went to Philadelphia to visit. And while she was in Philadelphia, this woman was in her 80s. She was a great horseback rider. She would climb the hills of Norway. Just getting from her house down to the lower part of town was a challenge. But in her late 80s, she was quite athletic. In fact, one time, a horse threw her, but he didn't get her all the way off. She was dragged in the stirrup. So what did she do? She grabbed hold of the part above the stirrup. She started pulling herself up, and she swung back into the saddle and got the horse under control. But she was in Philadelphia, and she was taking her morning constitutional, a walk. And while she was in the park walking, a man jumped out and started to attack her. Got her down on the ground and would have done terrible things to her. But she looked him in the face, and here's what she said. In the name of Jesus, leave. Guess what? He got up and left. The name of Jesus is powerful, and more powerful than that. It was the name of Jesus that Newton left his former life as a slave captain, and in the power of the name, he fought to end slavery in England, and he won the fight. Psalm 50 in verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and shalt glorify me." Call upon Jesus in times of trouble. Here's the great news. The good news, the great news is Jesus is with you. Call upon him. When your batteries are low and you just feel like you're going to fall flat on your face, spiritually speaking or physically speaking or emotionally speaking, call upon the name of Jesus. He's promised he's going to deliver you from your distress. Christ deserves our praise, our honor, and our thank. Because of him, we have direct access to God the Father. The Bible says, and Jesus says, there's no other way to God. Now, the world says there are many ways to God. We stand at variance to that idea because we believe this book. And in this book, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You want to see God? You use the key, the cross. It opens the door to your salvation. It opens the door to a personal relationship with God the Father. Because of him, we have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. There's no tower you can build to God. There's no way you can get your arms around who God is. If you want to know God, and the Bible says crystal clear, you can know God. The only way to know God, the only way to even get a handle on trying to understand who God is and the nature of God is through this book. Amen? And this is why we assiduously follow God's word. This is why we consider ourselves lifelong students of the word of God, lifelong learners. It's not something you pick up the book once in a while and you decide you're going to breeze through a couple of verses and that's going to be it for your year. If you really want to know God, if you really want to have the kind of wisdom God will give you, if you really want to understand who God is, you got to go to the text. Because of Jesus, our sins, which are many, have been nailed to the cross, and by his blood we have been forgiven. That is probably, you know, they say the best word beginning with an F in marketing is free. Well, I got a better word for you in life, and that word is forgiven. Forgiven. No matter what you've done and whatever you've experienced in your life, and you think that you'll never be forgiven for that, yes, you will. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ, and you will be forgiven. Because of him, we have salvation which cannot be taken away. I know that there are people who believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe the book teaches that. I believe the book is crystal clear that You are in the hands of Jesus Christ. He will never let you go. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never drop you. You are safe in my hands. You have been sealed onto the day of redemption. I'll take you home to be with me. And when you sin, the thing that you do is to confess that sin and ask him to forgive you of that sin. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away that sin. That's your remedy for sinning, not losing your salvation and having to start at base one again. Because of him, death is redefined. It's no longer the end. It's just the beginning. It's no longer a wall. It's a door through which we pass. It's no longer life's great question mark. It's the believer's exclamation point. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've lost some very dear friends over the last several weeks. But the great consolation is this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of their expressed faith in the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, their home in heaven with him. And by the way, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the fifth H, which is heaven. And I think you're going to learn some things you don't really know about heaven. It's Christ who made the promise and the privilege found in Hebrews 4:16, our promise. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need." That's a promise to you. Claim it. Don't just read it. Don't just repeat it. Claim it. It's in the bank. Now, whether you will withdraw from the bank is completely your choice. Verse 2 says that he says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him." And as a result of that, music and worship of God are joined at the hip. The Bible has literally hundreds of references to song, singing, and music in association with praise, thanks, and adoration to God. Nehemiah 12:46, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God." It's God, by the way, who gave the robin his song. He's given you a song. Praise him. Use your voice to sing praises. It is God who inspired, as we heard this morning. You know, God encouraged and inspired men like Beethoven and Bach and Handel to write the beautiful songs in praise to him. There is a college professor at a local college here who, when he was teaching, as he teaches music to his kids, he gets around Handel's Messiah. And you know what he tells them about Handel's Messiah? That really has nothing to do with Jesus. It's really praise to the existing king of the time. What is this nonsense? That's a bold-faced lie. But you know what? Those kids sit there, they accept it because they don't know any better. I am telling you, Handel's Messiah is about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank you, Scott, for sharing this morning. The 18th century English poet and essayist Joseph Addison wrote this: "Music is the greatest good that mortals know, and all of heaven we have below." Martin Luther said, "God has preached the gospel through music." God's gift of music is a gift for all seasons. You can sing when you're distressed. You can sing when you're joyful. And when you sing when you're distressed, it can take you from the slums of your desperation and bring you to a higher place. And that's what music focused in on the Savior does. In times of anxiety, stress, depression, and aggression, Job 35:10 says, "God gives us a song in the night. And tears come in the night, but joy comes in the morning." Keep singing. What fills your nights? Here's a few verses of encouragement. Ephesians 5:19 and 20. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, songs singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20 says, "Then you will be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a crying shame that young people today don't like to sing hymns and praise songs and sacred music. When we had our youth groups back in Brooklyn, our kids, I mean, we had on an average night, 30, 40 kids. We would have groups of teenagers get together from different churches, and we could have well over 100 kids in those different groups. And you know what they did? They'd sit around a campfire. We'd be singing Christian music, Christian songs, the songs of our day. And they all loved to sing, and I can still tell you about these kids today. They're now old men like me, but they're still singing wonderful songs about Jesus. And our text, verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works. Now, again, what are you being taught in your history, American history classes today? Well, there's a great separation between church and state. And because of that, there is a wall that's been erected between church and state. And nobody is allowed to say God. Nobody's allowed to say Jesus. Nobody is allowed to say Merry Christmas. You can't post anything because, after all, it's unconstitutional. Nothing like that ever happened in previous history. Well, how about this? The pilgrims, who, by the way, there's another special coming out, I don't know if it's Discovery or one of those channels, that says, if you thought the pilgrims came here for religious persecution and find a place where they could worship God, you're sadly mistaken. So be ready for that revisionist history. But anyway, the pilgrims remembered on November 26, 1623, when Governor William Bradford made an official proclamation for a day of thanksgiving to, as he said, quote, render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. And then President George Washington remembered on October 3rd, 1789, from the city of New York, where he proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving. He said, quote, that we may all unite unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country. That's God, you know. And then the Congress of the United States of America remembered in 1795 declaring a national day of thanksgiving. And it stated, our duty as a people with devout reverence and affectionate gratitude to acknowledge our many great obligations to what? Almighty God, and implore him to continue and confirm the blessings we have experienced. Don't be buffaloed that God has not been foundational, and God's word has not been foundational to the founding of this country. It is. We're just giving it away. Thanksgiving is more than a national holiday. It is for Christians a personal testimony. For each of us, it's a way of life. It's not thanksgiving, it's thanks living. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How will you and your loved ones approach Thanksgiving? Unhappy? Upset? Focused on all the things that are making you miserable? All the things you don't have? Or will you be grateful for what you do have? Will you take a break? Will you take a break from your unhappiness for one day, and just allow God to speak to you of his many blessings? Is your heart a heart of thanks? That was the question I started out with. It's your choice. But if you think about it, you'll realize we have so much for which to be thankful to God. We are richly blessed. Do you know it? Closing thought. There was a Confederate soldier, and after he was killed, this was found on him, written in his own hand. Quote, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to be, so I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men, richly blessed. Are you? Do you have a heart of thanks? Wednesday night, we'll have an opportunity to share our thanks in this room as we talk about what we're thankful for since last Thanksgiving. I encourage you to come, and God bless you this morning. I do pray that all of us, this one included, will have a heart full of thanks, and then we'll have a full life. Let's pray. Lord, you know that sometimes the burdens we carry are just too much to bear. You know, Lord, that sometimes the load of care can just bend us over. Sometimes it can break us down, and sometimes it could put us flat on our face. But in those moments when we're flat on our face, maybe it's time to realize that's where you wanted us in the first place. So help us to look up, Lord, and see our help comes from you. Help us, Lord, to realize we can't get through life all by ourselves. People have tried throughout history and it hasn't worked. We look around, Lord, and sometimes we say, how does anybody get through this without Jesus? And just by saying that, we admit that we couldn't do it. And so we thank you, Lord, for being by our side, above all, being in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. I pray for these folks this morning. I pray a blessing upon this congregation. Lord, I pray that burdens be lifted. Yes, at Calvary. That burdens would be lifted this morning, that unhappy hearts would be made happy. I pray for gladness of heart. I pray for healing of heart and soul. I pray, Lord, that you would take the things that are entrapping some people and open up the door of that prison that we've made for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us many blessings. And in the days ahead, we pray, Father, that we would count our blessings. Rejoice in all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.